Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed each and every time you join us. If you can, leave us some comments down below and a thumbs up, rankings, and all that good stuff, because that's what helps us get noticed by social media. Praise the Lord. Tom Donnan had an encounter with God when he died in an ambulance after the Widowmaker heart attack. He had an encounter with God, and then he was back. He's been fulfilling his calling that God gave him ever since. And in this series of interviews we've been talking about, we discuss many events happening right now that are possible indications of the end times. That's always a popular topic today. Help me welcome back to the program, Tom Donnan. Tom, thanks for coming back on the show today.
Pastor Bob, it's always fun to be together, and we usually have lively conversations, and we never know where it's going to go.
Exactly. You know?
And that's the fun part, because all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will whisper into your ear, hey, take a right turn and go down this rabbit trail, you know, and that's what makes it fun.
Amen. That's for sure. Now, for the benefit of those listeners, and I don't know why they wouldn't know who you are, but if they didn't hear any of our prior interviews, first, they need to go back to the archives and listen. But two, just briefly tell us, who is Tom Donnan?
Well, right now I am retired. I was an elevator mechanic for 44 years, and I am a father of three children, grandchildren. I like to consider myself an experiential Christian by saying that I experience the Trinity on a regular basis through dreams, visions, visitations, manifestations, and also, too, that gives me assignments. And in those assignments, I really enjoy the fulfillment of that. When you can have the Lord give you kind of like a pay attention to these dynamics coming across your path, because I want you to intervene, you know, and pray for this person. And then 2 days later it happens. It's like, whoa, this is fun. You could do a lot of those, you know. And so, yes, it's a great adventure, and that's what I like. After I had died, man, I was praying that God would use my life, because I had no idea how much longer I was going to have. That was 12 years ago. And I've been working for the Lord ever since, because when I was dead, God spoke to me in a deep masculine voice, and he said, it's only while you are on earth that you can work for Jesus. Mm. And then I was back in the ambulance because they hit me with the defibrillator and restarted my heart. And ever since then, I have been trying to do an asserted effort to work for the Lord, and the joy that comes with it. Sometimes Pastor Phil is a revival healing minister that I travel with him when I can, and the two of us, we can start getting laughing. We're laughing because, you know, there's so much joy in this. There is a joy unspeakable, you know, when you see God moving upon another life, and it really becomes to the point where you're saying, okay, where's the next one? Where's the next one?
Amen. 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 Tom, as I was praying about the topics that we're going to discuss today, I was inspired to title this episode, Black Holes, Dead Birds, Hoverboards, and God. I think
quite
that'll
a title.
Make some people stop. Like, they'll say, what?
Yeah. Oh, man.
If that doesn't catch their attention, I don't know what will. Right?
Yeah.
You see, folks, Tom Donnan has a unique gift where he can search out things that demonstrate the love of God, and the majesty of God, and the miraculous of God. And he does it in things that are happening around us all the time. Things that are not usually covered in detail in the news, if at all. But when these things are looked at through the lens of God and the end times, it all begins to make complete sense. So, Tom, let's begin by discussing the black hole. We discussed this a little bit last time on the YouTube video. This black hole actually proved that Einstein's theory of relativity was true for the first time. They always thought it was true, but they didn't have any proof till now. And like I said, we talked about this a little on the last episode, but this is so dramatic, I want to bring it back up today. This so impacted the scientific community, not only proving that there are, you know, time waves that drift through space, but they are actually looking now for possible black holes in our section of the galaxy. Tell us about that.
That's absolutely amazing. This is what I liked about this. This was a YouTube that was presented by an organization called TED, and I had never come across them before, but it was a subject. And here we are, two interviews. Now we're talking about Einstein. Here he is, the man who had deep thought, you know, 100 years ago. Yeah. 100 years ago, and finally the technology is catching up to the point where they can prove what it is that his theory was. And so in this, I was just absolutely stunned by the amount of intelligence and information, because, you know, when you get two guys that are talking together about a dynamic that is important to them and they've been in it a long time and they have the talk, so to speak, you know, they start talking at a level that's higher than right. somebody that's trying to grasp it from the beginning. Yeah. And this is what it's kind of like. They get into that a couple of times, and I'm just absolutely stunned. And then they try to explain how they captured this image and what goes on in the center of the black hole and how it breaks the time depth continuum, I think they're talking, something like that. And and how it sucks light down into it. Wouldn't you like to know what happens at the other end? You know? Yeah. It's like, okay, so we got Star Trek, right? You know, the next generation. Send a probe in there. Send a probe in and let us find out what's going on.
Well, the problem with that is if light can't escape, that means the radio waves won't be able to escape either, you know?
Oh, shoot, that just ruined the whole program.
Yeah. So the only thing they can do is, you know, go to warp factor 15 and just try and bust through it. You know? If you got your car and there's a brick wall, well, if I go fast enough, I'll come out the other side.
You know? Yeah, let's hope, right? Yeah. Yeah, but it's absolutely amazing that you can have it, where we have this technology where man has improved. You know, it always comes back to when I think about this is where God said when they were building the Tower of Babel, you know, they were just building one building. But he said that man will, if they all come together and put their mind to something, there's no stopping them.
Exactly.
Well, look at what's happening now. I mean, we got to the point now where we can prove a black hole that's, I think he said it was 58 million miles away. Or light years away.
58 million light years, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a drive. Yeah.
Yeah, it would take a bit. Well, and so, go ahead.
I was going to say, well, let's bring it a little bit closer to our own solar system. Scientists recently observed something crash into Jupiter. Something so large that it created a huge flash that could be observed through telescopes here. Did you see that? I wonder if that's what's also contributing to what we talked about last time with the disruption of the red eye in Jupiter, you know, kind of like their own climate change thing, you know?
Yeah. No, I think that's almost like an early warning system to us here on Earth because, how many times have we witnessed something smashing into Jupiter?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that is a stunning, stunning being able to see that, and that had to have been big, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. If you can see it that far away on a planet that big, that thing is probably, you know, it would have devastated the Earth, whatever it was that hit it. So.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so that's the thing about what's, I often say this, it's almost like we crossed into a different place in space where these rocks are coming at us hot and heavy, so to speak, you know, and they're trying to figure out, okay, 4 hours from now, we're going to have a rock pass us by 8,000 miles, an asteroid. Yeah. It just shocks people. And so, in Revelations, it says that there is one out there that's called Wormwood, you know, and this way, I think it is getting us prepared. And I would like to think that they would have something that would deflect it. You know, but here we got it back, you know, what was it called? The Levy-Shoemaker comet that plowed into Jupiter years ago. Yep. And now we have this one here. So it is an event that takes place, and it is very scary to think of.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of miracles in space, did you see the one of plans to fly a helicopter on Mars? I mean, it's actually more of a drone than a helicopter, but it only weighs 4 pounds on Earth. But, you know, I get the idea. What do you think about that one?
Oh, I couldn't believe it. You know, the way that they think about these things, of course, if you got money, there's a lot of things you can do when you got money.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so obviously, well, yeah, that's true. Now, the advancements that they're having here is that it's 4 pounds.
Yeah.
You look at this thing. And then, of course, you know, with the Martian atmosphere, What was it like? 1% atmosphere. So they're really going to have some lift. Now, the amazing part about this is that once they get it there, because it's going to be launched next year, once they get it there, okay, the battery power will let it fly for 90 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it has to recharge it. Yeah. No, but then the bulk of the power is used to keep a heater inside to keep it from freezing up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, here's something that I was thinking about, because, you know, they get a lot of Martian dust up there.
Yeah.
You know, the rovers used to have a problem with the dust because it would get over the solar cells.
Yeah.
All right. And then they couldn't charge as well. So I'm wondering, well, aren't they going to be kicking up the dust? I'm wondering about this. Hmm. They have to have some kind of plan to be able to have that removed somehow. But I don't know. I didn't come across that on the video. It was amazing, though, to see how they constructed it and the materials they used and the testing they went through to try to simulate the gravity. And, it's absolutely – people should watch that. That is absolutely amazing.
Amen. And what amazed me was – the person can't control it with a joystick because it'd be a 40 to 45 minute time lapse between, oh, we're going to hit that rock, and you tell it, move right. It takes 20 minutes for it to get there, and then hopefully it'll move, and then send 20 minutes back like, okay, I moved, you know. And so the time delay, it has to be autonomous. And to me, that's really fascinating that they were able to program this thing to fly by itself, taking into account all the factors, you know, the tilt and the rotation and, you know, the objects that might be getting in its way, and that it can process, I think she said 100 megahertz per second or something like that, and that the onboard computer will then make its own adjustments. Man, to have that technology, these are, like we talked about last time, these are signs of the times when the Bible says knowledge will increase more and more in the last days. This is, you know, fascinating. I mean, they use the same technology in airplanes today that can basically fly themselves and land themselves. You know, we're just kind of along in case the computer goes wrong, you know.
Well, this is enough to make my head hurt just thinking about this stuff. You know, here you have this thing that it's going to be able to think for itself, basically, to be able to see, okay, can I land? And then while I'm up in the air, what is it that I'm going to be looking at? And videotape it, and then later on send it back to Earth so that they can view it. You know, and they did the same thing with the rovers that they had on Mars.
Yep.
You know, they can't just send them out. They have to be able to say, oh, this is dangerous for me. I might get stuck here. I might go over in an edge. Yeah. You know, And so it's absolutely mind-boggling that they can come up with this stuff. You know, that shows the level of intelligence. It just absolutely boggles my mind.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when they launched Voyager back in the 70s, I guess it was, and, you know, that was the first man-made object to leave the solar system and all that stuff, right? But they had it programmed where it just fly, like, in between these planets and, you know, flew by the rings of Saturn and all this stuff, right? And the technology on that was like, wow, this thing's really awesome, you know, because it's way out there now, but it's still communicating, you know. Every so often they have it programmed to automate. Just the technology to do that is primitive compared to what we were just talking about with this helicopter. It's like using, you know, the party line system versus your brand new iPhone 10 or whatever it is. I mean, party line was great because you could talk across the country. Of course, there's, you know, Emerson 3462. I need to talk to, you know, Philly. You know, it was like when I called my dad, when I was in the Army in Korea, I called my dad from our tax site one night just to see if I could do it. And, you know, it had to be a collect call, and I waited till like 3 o'clock in the morning where I was at, because I was like 8:30 in the morning in Michigan, and 8:30 at night, whatever it was, 14-hour difference. But anyway, I you know, had to go through the switchboard, so it was Alpha Tac. Said Alpha Tac, get me Reno. Reno Hills Battalion. Said get me Reno. Then Reno Tac site, their switchboard. I said give me Osan. Osan Air Base, kind of. There's Osan. Osan, get me Yongsan, which is the main headquarters for the Army. Say, Yongsan switchboard, Yongsan, get me an overseas operator. Overseas operator, come on. I said, I need to make a collect call, to gave him the phone number. And pretty soon, you know, I had my dad on the line. The thing was, it's just like watching MASH, you know, where you could get disconnected, you know, hello, hello type thing. So I told him, I said, now, every time you get on speaking, say over, and I'll say over. That way they know we're still talking.
You know? Well, yeah.
Because you got like 10 people listening to your conversation. And
stuff. But yeah.
I said, man, this is awesome. You know, this is great. You know, I was talking on a field phone from Korea to my dad, you know.
You see, that's astounding because it was astounding then, but now when you look back, it's absolutely, you know, primitive.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now soldiers are in a combat zone, pick up their cell phone and call their wife.
Yeah. You know, okay, crazy. So I have had a long-distance phone call years ago, probably about 30 years ago, and it was frustrating because you almost had to say over because there was a time delay of seconds, you know, and you're thinking, well, is the person there? Is the person not there? You know, and then and so then you would have to have this strange conversation where there's these air gaps by the time they respond back, and it took a little bit of work to get it to work for you. It's so, but now the technology is so far advanced, and that's what I like about the this conversation I had. I brought up the other day that I am a volunteer for Need Him Ministry, which allows me to chat with people from around the world, and I had a young man. In the U.S. here, wasn't far from my house. I think it was in Indianapolis. And he was 16 years old. And he could see that we are in the end times. Amen. Now, that only happens by the Spirit of God, for a young man to be able to see that we are in end times and how he was taking these things seriously so that he was seeing that knowledge was increasing. And so that's what we try to do here is to be able to show these things, to be able to make people aware so that their eyes are open. Amen. You know, I don't want people to have a heart attack to get them awakened, you know, woken up to say, uh-oh, time to get busy because I like doing the work, you know. Right. But these are signs showing where we are in God's timeline. And it's absolutely astounding. And I think, wow, what's around the corner next, you know?
Amen. Amen. And I mean, it's just not, you know, happening out in space. It's happening here on Earth. Did you hear about the huge hailstorm out in Montana that killed 11,000 birds?
All right. So,
oh, man, I can't even picture what that would look like.
I get stunned because now we're talking about the natural stuff, you know. And I had somebody the other day that was coming in, and they wanted to know why God was, you know, so mean. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And he said, because of all the bad things that are happening. And I says, listen, do you got Microsoft Word on your computer? And he goes, yeah. I says, is it running good? And he goes, yeah. I said, just imagine that something happened and you got a virus in it and it wasn't working right. And he said, well, yeah, there's hackers out there. I said, well, whose fault is it? Is it Microsoft Word's? And he goes, no, it's the hacker's fault. And I said, well, God created everything that was good. Amen. You know, in the beginning, it was good. Well, sin comes into the world, and it brings corruption. And the corruption is starting to manifest through different things that are happening in the world, you know, in the seasons, in the climate, in the storms that are happening. The intensity is raising, you know. And then you got this storm that's happening in Montana, where 20 to 30% of the migratory birds at this lake were killed or injured because of the size of the hail and the amount of hail. And it's just like last time we talked about 3 feet in, you know, Mexico, you know. Yeah. And now we have these large hailstones that are taking place here, and it's killing the birds. And it's just, it's mind-boggling when you see these different aspects all coming and converging together.
Yeah, amen. I mean, that's... 11,000 is a lot of dead birds just laying on the ground. I mean, some animals be eating well for a while, but that's got to be a cause of concern just for the disease and rotting flesh and things like that, don't you think?
Oh, the smell's got to be pretty bad there for a while, you know, until the winter freeze comes, you know, and if they're probably not going to be dealt with by then. No, I can't imagine doing anything with it other than letting nature take its course because I didn't see anything in the article about doing something about it.
Amen. Let's make it personal, babe, as we're starting to wind this down. You've had heart problems, as we discussed. Did you hear about efforts to make basically a 3D printing of the human heart? I mean, how weird would that be, right? I mean, you know, actually, it's artificial collagen, but that's still the beginning. But that video that I watched, that was amazing. Did you see it?
Sometimes I just can't wrap my head around things. You know, we have a product in the elevator trade that were called belts. You know, we have steel cables that support the elevators. And they had come up with this belt product that had little wires that were inside of it. And I thought, this thing's never going to work, right? And I'm astounded because it did. It was making a 90-degree turn in 12 inches, which would wreck a steel cable. Wow. And I'm thinking, wow, how in the world is this working? I couldn't get my mind around it, but it did. And so when you get to 3D printers, it's like, okay, my brain checks out. I have no idea of how these things work. And then taking it to the place where then they can start to steam ahead in creating these things that can be replacement parts for the heart. It's like, oh, man, now I'm checking out. I can't believe this. Of course, I don't want to be the first one to try it, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said before, my grandmother, she was the first person in the state of Michigan to have open-heart surgery. And she's like the fourth in the United States or something like that. But, you know, I mean, they told her, if you don't have this, you'll probably be dead in 6 months. With it, you might get 3 or 4 more years because it's all experimental. So she had the surgery. And she ended up living 15, 16 more years. So it was a success, you know. But I remember in the newspaper, I was like 5 years old. I remember the newspaper coming out and interviewing her when she got home and all this stuff. It wasn't, you know, like they do today. You know, you go in today, have the surgery tomorrow, go home the next day. Sometimes it's same-day surgery, stuff like that. She was in there for like 6 weeks. I remember that because I remember when my grandfather and I had to go down and pick her up. But, you know, from that time to this, I mean, that was 50, almost 60 years ago. You know, that technology has increased. Now, you know, they can go in and replace the heart valve in a matter of just a couple hours, you know, stents in the heart and all that good stuff. But we need a new heart. Let's just go to the computer here and let's take this image and, come back Monday. It'll be ready. That's where they're going to, you know.
It's almost plausible when you see all the things that they're accomplishing. Yeah.
I mean, talk about, you know, Star Trek and, you know, Dr. McCoy and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Well, let's finish up on a rather lighthearted topic as we were just laughing at it a little bit. I know you had to have seen the movie series Back to the Future, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see the one where Marty McFly was using the hoverboard?
Yeah, until he got over water, and then it wouldn't work.
Right, right. And he found that out the hard way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a funny scene.
It is. But did you see the video recently where there was a French inventor that actually created – well, he calls it a hoverboard. I call it more of a jetpack. But he, instead of wearing it on his back, he wears it on his feet. And he flew across the street. No. He didn't fly across the pond. He flew across the English Channel. I mean, how would you like be a fisherman out there and seeing it go across? You know, I mean, he's up in the air a little bit when he goes, but I don't see why it wouldn't work down close to the water. I mean, I could just see some fisherman out there think. I was thinking back to the disciples of Jesus, you know.
Oh yeah.
Like, whoa! You know? But did you see that video?
Yes, I did. And you know what's amazing about that? You know, you're talking about the jetpacks where it was on the back and it would have thrust. But those only lasted a few minutes.
Right,
you have something that it's got strapped to his feet. And it was a duration of a flight for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
How was that fueled? Because he had to be carrying the fuel with him. And so the efficiency of that jetpack, you know, that he had to be very interesting. Now, he probably had 26 minutes of fuel, and that's why he was in a hurry. I don't know.
Yeah, he said he's going, I guess he equates to like 60 miles an hour or something like that.
I mean, 21 miles in 25 minutes. That's going pretty fast.
Yeah.
You know, but that's another thing. It just blows your mind that people are inventing these things. And to think that a man could fly, I mean, we're getting back to Flash Gordon now.
Yeah, that's who it reminded me of. That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, people aren't going to flash who? Flash what?
Hey, man, well, at least I know what to get my grandkids for Christmas now.
Oh, yeah. The parents will love you for it.
Hey, man. Oh, man. I just can't imagine, though, I mean, what that? I mean, it looked like, for the listeners out there who hadn't seen it, the link's down below. You can click the link. But you've seen these, what do they call them, Segways. The Segway things with, you know, where you have to lean forward to make it go forward. That's what it looked like. He had to lean forward to make it, you know, go in the direction he wanted to go. But still, that's it was pretty awesome to see. And
yeah.
I like the interview. I put a second link in there. The last one is the backstory on it. And they interviewed his wife after he called her when he landed. Like, hey, I'm here, you know, type thing. And she started crying, and they were interviewing her. She said, we've been working on this so long and for so hard of a time. And he goes, now that it's done, we're going on vacation.
Yeah, there you go.
We're on holiday. So I can see that. Praise the
That's
Lord.
That's a life's mission and vision right there.
Amen. Well, now they got to – now they proved the concept. They proved the workability. Now they got to figure out how to be able to mass produce it. And then you also have all the regulatory things that'll go on, because since it's a powered flight apparatus, it will probably fall here in the United States. It'll fall under the jurisdiction of the FAA, and I mean, so it's not like, hey, let's sell this at Walmart next week. You know, that's not going to happen right away.
Yeah.
So, Tom, we're about out of time for today. Man, I just enjoy our conversations. I'm telling you, this is, you always get me laughing. We have a good time. So I want you to come back on the program again. Will you do that?
Oh, I'd be glad to, because we do always have a good time. And you know, it's about helping people. They have their eyes open so that they can see the time that they're in. And really, you know, to move closer to the Lord. And in Amos 3:7, it says that God reveals things to his servant, the prophet. Not that I'm trying to raise up prophets, but in the gift of prophecy, when he shares stuff with you, you know, it is life changing. And this is what we're hoping to get people's eyes open.
Yeah, and it doesn't always have to be the gloom and doom, you know, like thus saith the Lord type thing. You know, you can see it. I mean, just the technology that's in a car that you take to the grocery store is amazing, you know. So, and that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to make you aware of what's happening around you, laughing and having a good time, because it's not always gloom and doom. But the whole point is, Jesus said, this is what it's going to be like in the last days, you know. And knowledge will increase more and more. The technology we see out there today is just fascinating. And that just helps to prove the point that we are living in what the Bible calls the last days. Tom, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, ask a question, do an interview like this, how can they do that?
They can reach me by my email address, which is healingthenation1776@gmail.com. Or I have a ministry page on Facebook, which is called Healing the Nation Ministries. They can get a hold of me either way there.
All right. And you've written a few books along the way, so I'm going to put those links down below as well, and you know, as well as your contact information. All that will be in the show notes. All right?
Wonderful.
Folks, that's all the time we have for today. So go to the show notes down below. Get in touch with Tom. Be sure to get one or all of his books. They're available through the links down below as well. For Tom, Don, and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.